This is part 3 of a short series introducing DNA tests for family history, what they are, and how they can be used to further your research. This time, I will be looking at what the results are and how you get a match and why they can be different from those of your parent or sibling, if they've tested too. And then, what you can do with them to begin to solve your family history questions. Here at Family History Roots, we go into the depths of family history, discussing and exploring methods for researching and looking at new records available to family historians. There are podcasts on getting started and in-depth looks at various online genealogy providers and how to get the best out of your time and efforts. Full details are found on my website, familyhistoryroots.uk. What are your DNA results? Your DNA test will match your DNA from most of your chromosomes. The X and the Y chromosomes are excluded from autosomal tests. So the test you take with Ancestry, MyHeritage, Living DNA, and Family Tree DNA's Family Finder test are all autosomal tests. While some extended tests, Living DNA, 23andMe, Family Tree DNA, test the mitochondrial DNA, that's the maternal line DNA, or they test the Y chromosome DNA in Y DNA tests. Selected markers in your chromosomes are compared against the same markers in other people's DNA tests. And if these are found to be the same, then there is a match. The match can be short or a long length of DNA, and these are added up and given a value in centimorgans. The higher the value, the greater amount of DNA that matches. When you log into the website of the tester, you will be able to see a list of your matches shown in descending order, usually, with the person who has the most matching DNA to you at the top of the list, with the amount of the match given in centimorgans, and an estimated relationship provided based on the amount of the match, that's the size of the match. As this amount is fairly consistent, it can predict the relationship within a close band, but can't identify exactly what that relationship is. So in the results list, you may find that matches are grouped into close family and distant family. You are listening to Family History Roots podcast, where we explore resources and techniques that can assist you with your family history research here in the UK. I'm Mark Irving, Director of Professional Genealogists, Grange Genealogy, and I have been tracing and researching family members of many different families for reasons of inheritance over the last 4 decades, and researching my own family since the 1980s. If you have a parent who has tested also, your parent will be at the top of the list, as he or she will share about half of your DNA, unless you are an identical twin, when you will share all of the DNA. Siblings and cousins will share less of your DNA, getting less throughout the generations. There comes a point when DNA from a relative is not passed on to later generations. So, although you may be related, you may not share any DNA. This can take a little thinking through, though. You share half of the DNA from each parent, and your brother or your sister share half also. But the half that you share is not the same half shared by your sibling. It will change every time a child is born. Your father will have half of his father's DNA and part of the DNA inherited from his father. If this was inherited equally, you would have half DNA from your father and therefore a quarter of this from your paternal grandfather and 1/8 from your paternal great-grandfather. So notionally, you would have 1/8 DNA from your paternal great-grandfather. You may have, but DNA is not shared out equally when you are born. The recombination that occurs between DNA of your parents does not draw on their parents equally. If it did, we would all be very similar. So the DNA you get and the DNA that your sibling gets is a different mix. And parts of the inherited DNA from a particular ancestor may be missing on your DNA, but there in your brother's. So, by the third generation back and later, you may share only a very small part of DNA, or none at all, or quite a lot. So, the 1/16th part of DNA that you could share from your great-great-grandparent is the maximum you can share, and you may well get none of it. This is why your DNA testing company can only give an estimated relationship for many matches. You will have to work out by looking at the match person and identifying the relationship, if you know it, or identifying it from a family tree, if you don't. I find it fascinating that I may have ancestors with whom I do not share any DNA at all. My genealogical family tree is much greater than my DNA family tree. When the matches get down to the smaller matches, that's a smaller amount of centimorgans, then there is a problem in that the recombination of DNA that occurs at conception mixes randomly and can create a small part of DNA that matches another person by random recombination at a particular point, usually reckoned somewhere below 15 centimorgans. This random creation of a match is called convergence. This can get complicated fairly quickly, and if you want to read up on this, I put some links in the notes for you. I recommend a website called DNAExplained.com, written by Roberta Estes, an American genetic genealogist. A genetic genealogist, by the way, is a genealogist who will undertake an investigation into tracking and tracing inheritance through DNA matches with traditional genealogy records. So, the point to remember is that the greater the size of the match, the less chance it is that the match is by chance than it is by descent. You are likely to get several hundred to several thousand matches, and initially you should concentrate on those matches that have a higher amount of centimorgans in the match and are likely to be closer relations because of this. My DNA test on Ancestry gives me about 18,000 matches, which is a lot to comprehend. Autosomal tests are reckoned to get identifiable matches from about 5 to 7 generations back, so you should be able to get back about 200 years in time to a common ancestor for some of the matches. Testing my mother's autosomal DNA got matches with a common ancestor in the early 1700s, and that is about 200 years for her. The number of your matches is not fixed. It may well increase as more and more people are tested. The number of people tested has risen greatly since 20 years ago, when the first companies offered direct-to-consumer tests. And although the rate of increase has fallen off recently, the number is still in excess of 30 million tests, of which Ancestry test database is still the largest. Once you have your test results, it's worth checking from time to time for new matches, and most of the services will make it easy for you to sort, group, and view them. In services like Ancestry and MyHeritage, where kits can be linked to family trees, it is easy to start to discover the exact relationship. You can also view any shared matches between you, that's between your test and a match, to see which other matches are shared between you. These, naturally enough, are called the shared matches. These can then be grouped together and their relationships worked out. If you have any questions or other opinions on what I have been discussing, you can let me know at podcasts@familyhistoryroots.uk. And what you have said or suggested may feature in a forthcoming episode. You can also subscribe to Family History Roots podcast from my website at familyhistoryroots.uk. And by subscribing, you will let me know that you find my discussions valuable. To work out a relationship, you'll need to work back on your family tree and also on the family tree on the match person. And if they don't have one, to construct one. Once you have a possible common ancestor, you can check it by working through the family tree at each generation to establish what the links are, and then you can identify a common surname. If you can do that, it makes it less daunting to work through, and where to start, obviously. Ancestry and others have tools for you that may help. Ancestry's Through Lines seeks to identify common ancestors for you to investigate, for example. Ancestry has recently extended its tools to assist us with what it calls side view, in which it sorts through the matches and then assigns them to first parent or second parent. Ancestry says that in future it may be able to assign them to the mother and father rather than label them one and two as at present. I'm going to discuss this in a future podcast when I have more chance to see how it affects the matches and go through the documentation. For many people, the ethnicity estimates are a great attraction, and all of the companies will display for you where they believe your family members may have come from by region of the world, and in some cases, living DNA, for example, will break these regions down even more to regions within a country. How they do this, it's not always very clear, but they will have a panel of people who've been tested and whose genealogies have been established and whose families, quotes, have been resident in a region for several generations, end quotes, that's ancestry. So by refining the panel and the matching algorithm, they can update these estimates from time to time. They claim they're getting more accurate as time goes on. But because DNA is not the whole inheritance story, missing parts of ancestors' DNA, remember, there will be differences between close family members. They are also a useful pointer to a region of the world for those families who are unsure where their ancestors may have originated. You will get maps showing the regions, good to look at and to spot what's not included. And here speaks the genealogist. A number of companies will also supply health traits or a well-being report from your DNA. If you have paid for these, they are useful to look at, but I'm skeptical about their practical use or accuracy, and they are not useful for family history or genealogy, so I won't comment any further on them. Okay, so this has been a gentle introduction to what DNA matches are and what information they give you and what you can start to do with them. And I have concentrated on the autosomal tests here. I will go through in detail how each of Ancestry, MyHeritage and Living DNA display their matches for you. So look out for the next podcast on this topic. There are a number of matching tools you can use to sort and display your results, and some of these will be covered as I go into sorting and discovering your relatives in detail, covering ancestries, parental matching and chromosome painter, and chromosome browsers and auto-clustering. In the next part of this series, I will be taking a look at how Ancestry.com displays the DNA matches and what you can do with them on Ancestry. Join me next time at familyhistoryroots.uk. Don't forget to subscribe if you have found this helpful. Family history is all about seeing life in the light of your ancestors. So may your discoveries and searches be fruitful. Until next time, good luck. The discussions and techniques and resources mentioned in this podcast were broadcast for personal use only, and the resources and any associated tips and techniques for researching were correct as of October 2022 and in the UK, and express my own opinion. This podcast was brought to you by Mark Irving, Director of Grange Genealogy. My further podcasts can be found at familyhistoryroots.uk, and details of other services offered are at grangegenealogy.co.uk. The Ragtime theme was courtesy of purpleplanet.com, and to receive further information on upcoming podcasts and interviews, email me at podcasts@familyhistoryroots.uk.